welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful, just like us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to the podcast. And Sean has a cold. And
I have a cough.
And a snuff.
Cough.
It's a disgusting snuff beforehand. It's sad.
No, you use the word disgusting. Disgusting and sad, though. Right?
It's
correlate, baby.
Kind of.
See, you've been lying all this time. Oh, it doesn't bother
it
me.
Doesn't
I'm just concerned
me.
About you.
It doesn't.
This is our first podcast of the year, isn't it?
I think so, because we've been beleaguered by illness, and then coastal Maine, where we live, got annihilated with some storms.
Yeah.
And we had a little holiday break at the beginning of the year
we
on
did
purpose.
Have a holiday break.
But then last week, all hell broke. Maine.
Now it's snowing outside.
Yeah, but there's no storm surge, so
like
we're okay.
We live in the Northeast.
Yeah. So our strange news is not about Maine getting clobbered by
powerful waves and wind.
And eroding our coast and bringing buildings into the ocean. It is actually about Peru. Because in Peru, do you remember they found these little things and they said they were aliens? They're like little doll-like figures.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah, when was that?
Really? Oh, right. So basically, they found the backstory here is that like these two small bipedal-ish creatures, right?
Yeah.
Dead, obviously. But they look kind of like skeletons or something mummified, right?
Yeah.
Well, they were going to be shipped to Mexico, but instead, like, the authorities in Peru were like, what the heck is this, right? And so they seized these two dolls and a three-fingered hand. And everyone was like, on the interwebs, was like, it's aliens, man. It's aliens. OMG. Right? It's proof. It's proof.
Yeah.
But it turns out the forensic experts in Peru have said, no, baby, no. These are little figurines made with glue and paper. And yeah, there's some human bones stuck in there to make these things. But it's all like a...
They literally couldn't tell that just by looking at them.
I don't know.
Like, it's basically a papier-mâché doll, and they thought it was something suspicious.
Yeah, no.
Because they used some human and animal bones in it.
Yeah, anyways, so basically, according to KSAT.com story, the conclusion is simple. They are dolls assembled with bones of animals from this planet with modern synthetic glues. Therefore, they were not assembled during pre-Hispanic times. They are not extraterrestrials. They are not aliens. So that was like another thing. They're like, ooh, they made them. Like,
or they are.
Oh, no.
And they're just telling us that. maybe they're alien, like young alien toys.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. You know. Anyways.
Can I see a picture of them?
Yeah, in a second. So let me just say to everybody else that, like, there was a Mexican journalist and some other lawmakers in Mexico who are like, we really think it's real. And so then other people on the interwebs made fun of them, which is not very nice, you know, because who knows, someday it could be real if this one isn't. And they had claimed that they were, quote, non-human beings that are not part of our terrestrial evolution. And that just makes me sad. You know, because this is what they look like. And I'll have a link in our podcast notes so you all can come check it out. But it's, you know, We have a friend who makes dolls, like creatures and cool things, like fairies and otters, and they're very magical looking, but they are better than these.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, she is made of talent, but these are not as... I mean, I can see one of my friends making those.
Yes.
But to sell, not to pretend.
But I can't see anybody finding those and thinking they were anything real.
They thought they were mummified, man. Mummified.
Yeah.
I'm a little mummified right now.
Mummified?
Yeah, man.
Baby, it's only...
Dehydrated.
Like, it's only like 11:15 in the morning. I'm You're dehydrated. Mummified already?
Wait, is that a... Does that mean drunk?
I don't know. I'm just making that association.
I was really worried. Yeah. No, I'm not drunk.
Are you on that ketamine regimen
again? No, jeez, no. Shawnee, would you like to tell everybody what you're proud of?
Oh, because that first segment I didn't call one single freaking time.
And he didn't even have a snuffle.
No.
Ooh, that's pretty good. So the main part of our podcast...
This is the exciting stuff right here.
Shut up, you're such a dick. You're so mean.
How about being mean?
Because the point of our podcast is not just for us to randomly talk. That's what we do.
Part of this is actually exciting.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
The podcast is Trope Me Out, Baby. The jump scare in January is a blissed out month, but I don't know why that
was. Look at you with all your intoxication talk. Blissed out.
I didn't mean it.
I don't know what trope me out means. That sounds kind of sexual.
It's not sexual.
Trope me, baby. Trope me.
Wow.
What?
So there's a lot of ways that trope is defined, and none of them are what you just said right now.
Really? I'm going to look on Urban Dictionary.
And for us here on Dogs Are Smarter Than People, and by us I mean me and not Sean, we're going to go with the grammarist definition of trope, which is, do you want to read it? Can you do it?
A trope is simply a common or recurring theme or method used in storytelling across all forms of media. Even papier-mâché dolls. Tropes serve as a way for creators to convey certain ideas and messages to their audience in a familiar and recognizable way.
Oh, jeez. So, can't even. So they go on to write.
Think of the last book you read or a movie you recently watched. Did you reach a point where you could predict what? And that's when I locked out because I knew what was going to happen. Did you reach a point where you could predict what was going to happen? Or did a character arise and you immediately knew it was the villain? That's because the creator used tropes to build up the idea or the character.
So tropes create expectations in the readers, right? There are things that reoccur across films or books or songs or art or podcasts that create an expectation, and they often have a symbolic meaning, but not always. And the people who hate them say they're overdone, they're so passé, they're boring. And those who love them say that they give comfort and can be used to powerfully convey referential meaning. Ooh, big
or
words.
If your wife happens to be a very well-established author and like familiar with theater and you know, screenwriting, then they can ruin movies for you after like 6.5 minutes.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So, as the pleasure pen writes, and that's because I know structure.
That's what, yes.
Yeah. All right. So, as the pleasure pen writes, tropes are not just narrative tools. What are they, Shani?
They are also key in setting and sometimes subverting the expectations of your audience. Mastering this dynamic can elevate your storytelling, making your tales both satisfying and surprising. Can we take a brief pause?
No.
I just want to make everybody aware that if... In the future, from this point forward, if you ever read any, like, erotica online or anything, and the pen name is Pleasure Pen, that's me. I'm going to adopt that.
It's somebody's pen already.
The Pleasure Pen. I'm gonna put an initial in it.
Oh, my God.
To make it different.
That's cheating. Tropes can create those expectations, and they can subvert them, and they can twist them, right?
Yes.
And that's because story doesn't stop at the writer, right? Like, story is communication between the writer and the reader. And tropes help that reader understand what you're putting down there if you're the writer. So tropes are patterns, and those patterns light up the reader's brains in certain ways. So here's a way to think about it.
You're watching a horror movie. There's ominous music. A woman looks over her shoulder, and then a man appears in front of her on the sidewalk. She jumps. we jump, hopefully. The music and look over her shoulder create that expectation. The frame of the camera also helps create the suspense for a potential shock. It's a jump scare, baby!
Boom, boom, boom. It's a jump scare. Boom, boom, boom. It's a jump scare. So how do you do this in a book, right? Because that's the question for us writers. It's a lot
harder. There's no music or camera.
Not screenwriters. Yeah, man. So anyways, usually that's done via suspense. In the book The Twisted Ones, author T. Kingfisher has a woodpecker that's the main character. Mouse hears every night. And Mouse hears that damn woodpecker every time she's trying to fall asleep, night after night. And then, as Ferrets Steinmetz writes for Tor,
she realizes the things moving about in the night are living effigies, piles of bones tied together and somehow animated. And what she's hearing is not a woodpecker, but the stones hanging from the effigy's ribcage knocking together as it's been lurking outside her window this whole time. The delight of the Twisted Ones is how much the narrative implies and how cunningly, without filling in all the blanks, it's packed with subtle horrors left to fester as you take the thought further than the protagonist does.
So other examples of tropes in horror are found footage or creepy clowns or the group splitting up to investigate or whatever when there's a serial killer outside or inside the cabin in the woods. A trope in romance might be, oh no, we have to share a hotel room. That sort of thing.
Who got stranded by the snowstorm?
Oh no.
The only room available has but only one bed.
Oh no. Whatever shall we do?
And tons of alcohol in the refrigerator.
Whatever shall we do? Oh no, our clothes are all wet. We have to take them off and warm up with body. So bang, yeah, bang. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So Paul Jenkins writes on Brilliant T.O.
There are countless literary tropes, from the misunderstood villain to the unexpected hero and everything in between. These classifications provide an essential framework for understanding how narratives...
Oh no.
That's our grand dog.
That's our grand dog.
He's not versed in the podcast time of day yet.
And his mama is like right now calling too.
Oh my god.
I hope she's not in a car crash.
Well, we can take a quick break.
No, let's just say like every time you see a familiar plot twist or character type, he says, it's not because the writing's lazy, it's because the writer's intentionally trying to help you make a satisfying narrative arc, right?
Yes.
And in our podcast notes, we have like some cool exercises and a place to submit your novella, and those are at carriejonesbooks.blog. But in a second, we're going to give you a box of the life.
Woohoo! Dog tip for life, baby. We need a trope later on tonight.
All right. Anyways.
She said, all right, man.
Dog tip for life. You all witnessed it.
Okay. Dog tip for life. So we have
this very immature husband.
Anxious, anxiety-ridden dog.
She came that way.
About 2 years old now, and she's very jittery, and she loves to play with a couple of our cats. And we have a young cat that's a couple years old, and he's all black, and his name's Elle.
He's adorbs.
And the dog's name is Pogi. And Pogi says jump scares and cats are the greatest thing of all time. Because they like to play this little game of who's around the corner. And they'll jump out and chase each other around. And Elle, the cat, says he agrees to disagree with Pogi. Because while he does enjoy the jump scare game, he doesn't necessarily like the dog ace.
He's just like me.
And there is a cute little picture of them on our website.
And the thing is, it's a predictive pattern, right? Like, if we're watching, we know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't. Been to, it's hysterical.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, actually.
It is fun to watch.
It's fun to be a part of a jump scare and not be scared for once.
I know. Good Lord. I'm proud of you for not coughing or something.
I did a great job, didn't I?
You were amazing, honey. I'm so proud of you.
That's what she says every day. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do know.
I do. We've been saying it. summer spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.